Many people ask the question, how to transcend the mind? Many people ask the question, how to transcend the mind? But what you're really asking, how to transcend the influence of the mind? And the easiest way I can tell you, let mind dance in your presence, but don't identify. If you hold on to this simple truth that you are the witness of the dancing mind, or the screaming mind, whichever way you want to say, you are the witness of it, and that it cannot exist without your noticing of it. This is a very important thing, and keep yourself to yourself in it. Be the space in which the mind appears. It's not difficult. You have this power. Naturally, you have this power. You see, it only needs to be exercised. And what will happen is like this, because we have heard how to kill the mind, how to conquer the mind. No violence is needed. No violence is needed. Simply stay as the self, as the weakness. And you know what will happen? When mind is allowed to dance and to scream and to whatever, without your identifying with it, the most powerful instrument against the mind is your detached response. Your dispassion. It's a killer. Because when you say everything can be, those negative states have nothing to hook on to. Negative or positive. And so what happens is they just fade from lack of substance because they didn't connect. It's like one hand clapping. That hand is the thought arising and this one is the belief. Then you can have that. So don't fight with the thoughts. Let the thoughts happen. Let the feelings happen. The reason why they have such a bite, such significance, is because you identify as the one they're happening to. Only thoughts that have strong suggestion for identity, they're the ones you get stuck with. The thoughts that says something about you, wasn't about me, yes, then you get stuck in it. And this me, no one figures out that this me is also thought. It's also thought construct. But this is not any other regular thought. This is a 5-star thought. And the beingness has fallen in love with, it has tremendous affection for this thought, this I thought, and it doesn't want to give it up. It wants to know itself, but it also wants to be married to this vampire. And it wants to have nice sleep. It is like that. And that is what the risk feels. Because your I thought, the I belief, the I concept, contain all the juice of your story, or your projection, your dream, and you don't want to separate from the dream. You feel, without my dream, I have no life. But with your dream, you have no life. You have a life in waiting. But we can't give it up. And all of this is just the difference between this and this. That's all. Between this and this. A twist of consciousness and everything comes crashing. I don't know if I've put it across in the most appealing way. use the best examples. There's no part two. Thank you. The one who is living, to bring that one down himself, would we take the risk? And it's the only time life becomes deeply exciting for me. You know? Is that you, will you take the risk that you might vanish? If you're only doing the things to secure that, at least everything can go, but at least I'll still be here. Must you at every cost save yourself, and who are you? Because if at the end, you know, it's just that there's still somebody here receiving a gift, and well done, you did really well. Who is this one even now? Just to look, you see. Is that as far back as we can go? Is that our finality? Is the ultimate discovery of self still this little guy behind the curtains or what? I just feel something... How deep is the compulsion within to really get complete clarity about what it is that's here, who we are in this body, is it? How quick are we to make an early handshake before the deal is signed? How far do you want to go? I don't know why I'm asking these questions, because I don't even care for your answers, even actually, for the answers. The questions are very important. The questions alone are confronting something, because we carry a kind of fear inside, you know. Because as far back as I can remember, I was afraid. You understand? From I was a child, I think I was afraid about something. That maybe the body is going to get dropped. I remember I used to have this feeling that one day, if a tree falls down and I'm really near the root, will I get crushed? I was thinking that stuff, you know. I was as a child, maybe 8 years old, thinking about this, look at this big tree, think if it fell down and I'm right by the root, will I get crushed or something? Or is something, you know, or is this encounter with another human being, is it going to be painful or is it going to be nice? You see, like this, somebody goes, Tony Muyong, can I speak with I don't like the tone of voice. I know this tone of voice, it means that, you know, somebody's going to squeeze your nuts, you know. So there's always a little bit of fear, and I see that this is something, this fear and this desire are very powerful forces operating in the human expression of consciousness. Maybe in all sentient beings, all sentient expression probably are ping-ponging between these two things, desire and fear. Will this thing be good, nice, or will it hurt? So something is going there. So I wanted to know if this is the totality of all that matters in the existence. Is that all that I am? A unit for tasting fear or desire. You see? And what watches the fear and the desire, you see? Was there a way out? Because it felt like, is there a way out? Is there something beyond this thing, you see? You meet some people, they really hate human beings. Because it's, in a sense, the human being is a kind of a global image of a small self. So if I don't love myself, I can't love anybody. I actually hate the whole lot of you. It's like felt like this, no? If I cannot love myself, then who you can love, you know? And who is the self in here to love? But yet at the same time, you know, the love actually arose inside, not as an action, you know, but as a kind of being. There was just kind of love, unexplained. Why I love you? Why I feel this love for you? Or is there you independent of me? Because something in here is saying I, and feels very, very potent and recognizes through some intelligence that something is saying I with equal respect and purposefulness in another body. So is this I more, is it unique and different from that I? Is there a difference of I? Sometimes these questions come and inside they kind of pull something into some depth or something. So you are right when she says, in a sense, the questions are just refining something. They are bringing again the mind back into emptiness. And when emptiness is experienced and felt and recognized again, all that was busy is drowned in that emptiness. In that emptiness alone, the peace is shining without any molestation. A joy, a space, a natural feeling of compassionate love or something is there by itself. It's found, not created. It's discovered. Seems that this is must be something that's happened to us. It's like you go to the market, you see some banana, you say, oh, they look nice, but you don't see the banana, you see the banana skin, no? And you look at the banana and say, wow, this looks really good, but you don't eat the skin, but the skin is all you see. And so you think, okay, but you like this banana, okay, eat the skin. It's an indication that maybe the fruit inside is in a good state or something like this. So the banana skin in a way is our in this kind of dynamic life that we see, which is smell, taste, touch, how you move, must be somehow a reflection of a deeper awareness which you don't really see. The physical body makes the quality of the awareness inside visible, isn't it? Just like you cannot see the wind, but you can appreciate how it's moving because how the leaves are moving. You say, oh, look at the wind. But nobody can see the wind. You can only see the effects of the wind. So this body allows us to see the effect of the understanding inside us, isn't it? The movement of this body, the behavior, the fragrance that comes out gives an indication of the quality of the consciousness inside. Because each one is a fragrance. Each one is the fragrance. You want to see your life? You are your life. How you smell and taste in this moment, this is your life. There's nothing more than it. People say, oh, yeah, the world is like this and the world is not. It's your world is like this. Your world and your experience of it is like this. There isn't really a world independent of your perception of it. And that world is always changing. Whenever you're feeling blue, your world is blue. When you're feeling red, your world is red. And then you're trying to get other people to say, look, it's red, isn't it? And I say, no, it's actually pink. And you think, oh, but you don't know what you're talking about, you know? And so conflict comes. Because no one acknowledge that your world is private. And can only be what it is when you vanish. You see? It can only really be what it is when you are out of the picture. As long as you are there, meaning you as mind, then the world will always smell like your mind. So you have to get out, and then what is left, that is something very different. So this is what I'm burping up at the moment. Well, what time is it?
It's 5.
I need to go and have a bath.